Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome everybody here on this July 4th. I hope everybody is planning to have a wonderful day with their families. We'll talk a little bit today about what to celebrate, what not, some very interesting levels. And let me talk to you about what happened today in history. Let's start with that before we jump into our conversation with Kola Tangela, who has joined us in studio here. I'll introduce him in a minute. He's quite a great actor, social activist, who is going to read to us the Frederick Douglass July 4th speech, but we'll talk stuff around that as well. So we all know on this July 4th, the United States declared independence from Great Britain. What we don't know about that a lot, which we've had on programs before, is what that war really meant in many ways. It was a war where people who fought that war, who led that war, were the merchant class, were the property classes, who wanted to make sure they made their money instead of Britain making that money, and they led a revolution that was fought by many. What we don't know about that time, and don't talk about a great deal, is the role African Americans played in that war. There would have never been the United States had the Brits listened to General Dunlop, one of their generals, who said, "We offer every slave in America freedom if they will fight for the crown." Many did. One of the reasons that New York fell to the British was because there were slave rebellions in New Jersey that were led and led one of the most magnificent guerrilla wars ever fought. People also don't know the Battle of Yorktown, which was where the British lost this war and lost the colonies that became the United States of America. It's never in our history books, but it's in all the things you write from that moment in time by soldiers who fought in the war at that time, that the Battle of Yorktown was won by black and Indian troops from Rhode Island. Their blood spilled on the ground. That's what defeated the British. There's much more to this story, but we will do that on another day, as we've done in the past. Also this day in history, on July the 4th, 1827, slavery was abolished in New York. This was in 1875 when white folks created terrorist attacks on free people in Vicksburg, killing dozens of African Americans. This was the day when the Afrikaners in South Africa, what became South Africa, the Cape Colony, in 1879 took control and pushed back African people from controlling their own land and took it over. This was the day that Booker T. Washington in 1881 established the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. This was also the day, which was a huge thing in America, when Jack Johnson knocked out Jim Flynn in the ninth round for the heavyweight boxing title. There, a lot of folks didn't like that. that's a laugh from my dear friend Coley. That happened on this day. This was also the day where in 1796 was the first July 4th celebration was held in America on this day. This was the day that one of the most despicable human beings was born, Jean-Claude Duvalier, Papa Doc, one of the American imposed dictators that destroyed his own country of Haiti. That's my editorial. And this is the day that Mississippi Fred McDowell, great blues musician, passed away in 1972. And this was the day that a great speech was given on July the 4th by Frederick Douglass, a very famous speech. And joining me in the studio, not just to give you that speech, but to talk around things around that speech, is my dear friend, Kola Tangela, who is founder and director of the Kuchi Chagalia Project, which teaches filmmaking, theater, and new media for social justice to our students. And Kola, welcome, brother. How are you?
I am doing just fine. Thank you so much for asking me to be here.
Kola, I first heard you do this very famous July 4th speech that was given on July 5th in Rochester, New York in 1852. Frederick Douglass's 4th of July speech. But it was a very famous speech. The first time I heard you give it was when you and I performed together in Howard Zinn's Voices of the People at the Creative Alliance. And you did Frederick Douglass, and I did Eugene V. Debs that day, the great socialist leader. And that's the first time I really heard the speech. I've heard it before, but you did such a magnificent job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It really did. So talk about the speech first and before you intro what you're about to do here.
Okay, sure. First, I want to share with you what a significant figure. A lot of don't realize the significance of Frederick Douglass today. He's been sort of placed as an icon. Unfortunately, even like more, we would consider contemporary individuals like Dr. King or even entertainment or political icons such as Muhammad Ali. I want to share some real. I had a student. I was teaching middle school, and I said, I want you to get up and do it with that Muhammad Ali braggadocious swagger. And he looked at me and said, "Who's Muhammad Ali?"
Ooh.
And he was 14 years old.
Oh, my God.
And now, not only did it put myself in perspective of, at that time, being in my early 40s, and now I'm 50, but also, how could such an individual like Muhammad Ali, his significance, his reputation, be forgotten?
Get lost like that.
Get lost like that unless right. you're reminded of it. The same is the situation with the greatness of Frederick Douglass. A lot of people don't realize the significance of who he was and the power in which he wielded and his ability to get all folk, whether they be white, whether they be African folk brought here at that time who were enslaved or who might be free or under what was considered at that time being free. What a tremendous individual he was, and what it took at that time to muster that level of organizing of that and to rank that level of visibility as a black man, an African man, just out of the bondage of chattel slavery is like hard for me to even fathom. And for him to be relegated to a poster or a placard in a classroom that's pulled out for 30 days or 28 days once a year astonishes me. He was a magnificent individual who did such incredible things. He became an ambassador to another African nation, Haiti. For him to be just relegated to a footnote or, let's say, a piece of African-American history, Trivial Pursuit,
right.
is really disappointing. So I was proud and honored to be able to bring his words to life in this incredible speech. And also applaud you and all the individuals that day, and bigger applause to Howard Zim, who said that everybody's perspective about history is valid and is deserving to be heard. You know, we'll be talking to people years from now about the significance of President Obama, favorable or negative, years from now. But will anyone ask an elderly African-American person what were their feelings of walking into a polling place, never thinking that a person of color, much less an African person, becoming president of the United States of America? How did it feel for them to pull that lever? That is true, authentic, and important history.
Absolutely. And I did misspeak before. It was July 5th, 1852. My mind was going the wrong place. He gave this speech in Rochester, New York, and you're going to take pieces out that you thought were really poignant to share with our listeners.
Oh, sure. And thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Mr. President, friends, fellow citizens, he could address this audience without a quailing sensation, has stronger nerves than I have. I do not remember ever to have appeared as a speaker before any assembly more shrinkingly, not with greater distrust of my ability than I do this day. A feeling has crept over me quite unfavorable to the exercise of my limited powers of speech. The task before me is one which requires much previous thought and study for its proper performance. What is this day, the 4th of July, to me? I say this with sad sense of disparity between us. I am not included within the pale, glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessing in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, independence bequeathed by your fathers is not shared, not by me. The sunlight that brought light and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice. I must mourn. To drag a man in feathers within the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. Do you mean, citizens, to mock me by asking me to speak today? If so, there is a parallel to your conduct. Let me warn you that it is dangerous to copy the example of a nation whose crimes, towering up to the heaven, were thrown down by the breath of the Almighty, bearing that nation irrevocable ruin. I can today take up the plaintful lament of a pleaded, war-smitten people. I just want to stop there for a moment for us to, you know, think about that. Frederick Douglass was a large man, very tall, broad-featured, at that time a mixed gray mane of hair and beard, standing before the white governing individuals of a nation, a people, and giving an honest discourse, an African person's, a black person, a person of color's critique of this nation, how we're a part of this, but we're not. That even today, a lot of people of color, particularly black folks, feel as though we love this country so much, we have sacrificed for so much, but still to this very day, we are not respected as full citizens. It's very hurting, particularly for me and other African folk, when we see the current president, Barack Obama, even though we're learning that some of his policies I don't particularly care for, but he is still the president. And the level of disrespect that's leveled at him from the yelling out when he was addressing the Senate, "You lie," for a white woman putting up her finger in his face on a tarmac of an airport, I believe it was in Arizona, shaking her finger at him as she, like a chastising school teacher of a black child, or a chastising white individual who perceives herself being of authority over a full adult black man who happens to be her commander in chief. People wondering if he is the president of the United States, considered the most powerful position in the free world, and he can be disrespected to that level. What is this thing that weaves itself into our American society, whether it's racism, whether it's a need to feel superior than another group of people, that still won't allow this country to reach its full potential of greatness? And so we suck it in to a certain degree, which is unhealthy. We need to begin to have genuine conversations about the history of this country. Even in the African-American community, and I'm keeping this all in perspective with the 4th of July, even dealing with the old intra issue of homophobia among the African-American community, there's a lot of brothers and sisters that don't like to deal with the significance of Brother Baynard Rustin being a part, a key, integral part of making Dr. King into the icon that he is today, with his brilliant organizational ability with the March on Washington, with his organizational work with the Pullman car porters.
All that, right.
But then, now, coming to reveal of his sexuality, that the brother was gay.
Now, Bayard Rustin you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that Baynard Rustin was gay. How could, well, now diminishing the significance of his work, just because we discovered a personal thing like his sexuality? So we even have to deal with that. So as we see Barack Obama receiving disrespect and understanding that this is a history and that we all think, meaning black folks and other folk, conscious or not, know that probably Barack and Michelle have some intense conversation in the privacy of their private quarters at the White House. We imagine what it was like for Frederick Douglass to stand before a group of wealthy, powerful white folk at that time and to tell them, why should I celebrate your 4th of July? You're perceiving yourself as starting the journey towards your liberty, and I am still enslaved, and those who look like me are held in servitude and in bondage. What is this hypocrisy that you expect me? And there's others at that time, Native American folk. There are indentured white folk, because of my own education, learned that the placing of Irish people being perceived as being a loathsome, disgusting group of people. And that was amazing for me as a African-centered Pan-Africanist like myself to say that other white folks will discriminate against other white folks. So what is this among a human condition? That what do we have to do? What has to happen for us to be looking at individuals irregardless of their ethnicity, their gender, their sexual preference as being human beings? And the only qualifier that we need to look at, whether that you're a good human being or you're a bad human being.
Colin Tangela, as you're with us, reading Frederick Douglass's famous July 4th speech. And reflecting, I think, in many ways, what Frederick Douglass might be saying today if he was here. Colin Tangela channeling Frederick Douglass here on this July 4th. Colin's a wonderful human being, founder and director of a very important group, the Kuji Chagalia Project, that works in film and video and new media for social justice with our young people. Colin, my brother, good to have you in the studio. Thank you.
No, thank you. And I want to say I'll be sharing the Kuji Chagalia Project with wonderful high school students on the west side of Baltimore this coming school year at Augusta Feld Savage. Big shout out to the wonderful principal there, Sister Tracy Hicks.
And also look forward to a colleague also not being just back on our show, but being a regular presence on the Anthony McCarthy Show coming up soon. And tomorrow you'll be a father.
Yes. Yes, I will be. Yeah, that's right. You folks, you heard I said I was 50. That's right. I'll be a swag daddy. That's right. That means silver-haired, well-prepared, able, and grateful. Swag daddies.
Happy 4th. Happy fatherhood, brother.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Baltimore. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Don't go away.